was here last year. It is good. It's good to see you guys again. I tell you what, it is a privilege to get to be here at D-Town. I don't know if you guys know, they mentioned it earlier. My name is Timothy Atigue, but back in eighth grade, I got labeled with my initials, which are T-A. So feel free to call me whatever you want. I mean, you can make something up, but probably answer to Timothy or T-A. Let me just give you a little background on myself. I actually worked here at Watermark way back in the day, so I love this place and I love the people who work here. My favorite memory ever of working here was David Peniel and I actually jumped out of an airplane for a skit. And right before we jumped out of the airplane, David Peniel asked the people that were jumping out of the airplane with us, he said, "Do you remember this, David? Do you remember what you asked?" A minute before we're about to throw our bodies out of an airplane, he said, "Hey, do you guys ever have to use the emergency parachute?" And they looked like, "You're an idiot." "Yes, we do." And I was like, "Oh, geez. I need a clean pair of pants. All right, let's go." You know, and then we're out. Anyway, that was back then. Again, my name is Timothy Atigue. Little bio about me. I'm married. Way to go. Thank you. I was able to do that. All right. You're like, "Really? You were able to do that? I don't see how, but all right. God is good." Married, got two kids, two boys. I am from Dallas, went to Highland Park High School. Any Scots in the house? All hail to thee. All right, anyway. Went to Highland Park, and some people think I could win a look-alike contest with Aladdin. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. You're like, "I see it. Very nice." Hey, let me ask you guys a question. I want you to interact with me right now. Have you ever been in the presence of greatness? And here's what I mean. Have you ever met someone famous or been in the near vicinity to someone famous? If so, just call it out. Who you met, who you... Bono, the Jonas Brothers, Jim Carrey, who else? Who? All right, Kurt Smith, seven? All right, anyone, who? Jillian Edwards, anyone else? All right, very nice, that is good. That's good, all right. You shot who? All right, oh, you shook, not shot Chuck Norris, you shook his hand. All right, got scared there for a minute. All right, very good. That's all I need. Let me tell you a little story. I didn't meet these people, but I got to be in the near vicinity of what I considered greatness. Several years ago, one of my friends called me, and he was like, "Hey, dude, I want to propose to my fiance, or not my fiance yet, I want to propose to my girlfriend in New York City at Christmas time. Would you mind if I paid for you to fly up to New York City to videotape my proposal?" I was like, no, I won't mind. And so I hopped on an airplane and I went to New York City to film his proposal. And I flew up on a Thursday night. He wasn't proposing until Saturday night. So Friday, we had the day to ourselves. And I'm a guy who, have you ever heard of Conan O'Brien? Okay, I love Conan O'Brien. Some of you guys are like, "Who?" I think he's incredible. And so I decided I wanted to try and get on the Conan O'Brien show. The problem was I didn't have tickets to the show. So my two friends and I, we woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, New York City, Christmas time, to go stand in a standby line to get tickets, to then stand in another line to get real tickets to hopefully get on the show. So 4 o'clock in the morning, we go out of the place we're staying, and it is completely deserted. It looks like the streets from I Am Legend. Have you seen that movie? Like any mutant, any minute, a mutant's going to be like, "Rah!" you know, and just like be on us, you know. And so there's just a completely deserted. And so we go to Rockefeller Center, where you stand in line for tickets, and there's no one around except a guy. That's one guy. There's one guy on the side of the street smoking a cig, okay? And he's just standing there randomly, and we're like, we'll stand next to this guy. And so we go, and we stand. We don't say anything to him. It's just like, so, how's your cigarette? Cool. All right. I don't smoke, thanks. So we stand there, he's standing there, we're standing there, and we're freezing, and we're waiting in the standby line. And so the people come out at 9 a.m. and they start giving us standby tickets. They give cigarette boy number one and his friend who he was holding a place for number two, and then we get tickets number 3, 4, and 5. Okay? So then they say, come back at 4 o'clock and you'll see if you can get on the show. 4 o'clock we come back. We're standing there, we're waiting, we don't know what's going to happen. And the people come out and they say, we'll take numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The rest of you guys can go home. And we're like, we're in. And so then they lead us in and they sit us on the very front row of Conan O'Brien. And we get to sit there and we see Dane Cook, Giselle the model, and the White Stripes with Conan O'Brien. And I don't know, I'm not a big Dane Cook fan. He's a little dirty for me. And Giselle, haven't spent much time, you know, looking at her. That'd be kind of weird. But she is apparently famous, and the White Stripes are kind of cool. But I just remember sitting there in the crowd thinking, I am in the presence of greatness. Like my two friends and I, we sat there, and anytime there was a joke, we would laugh extra loud. I mean, we really would. We were those guys. And then we went home at night and we watched the show. It's like, did I hear my laughter? I think that was me. No. Rewind it. I think that wasn't me. Never mind. Okay. But I remember sitting there and we were just like, we are in the presence of greatness. If you've ever been in the presence of greatness, then I don't know if you remember what it felt like, but it's kind of this feeling like, I can't believe he's there and I'm here. Let me blow up my Twitter. Let me update my Facebook status. People need to know where I am and where they are not. To be in the presence of greatness is an incredible thing. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about your relationship with God like that? Here's what the Bible would say. The Bible would say that God is everywhere all at once. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about? That right now he's here with us, yet he's in China at the exact same time. He's everywhere all at once. You know what that means? It means when you open your eyes in the morning, God is sitting in the room like, I was waiting for you to wake up. What do you want to do today? Okay, well, actually, I already planned out every day of your life, so let's get going. And then when you hop in the car, he's there with you like, oh, you want to listen to Bieber, huh? Well, I made him. Okay, cool. I'll listen to him too, all right? And so you guys drive to school together, and he is with you there. And when you walk down the hall, he is walking with you. He is everywhere all the time, whether you want him to be or not. He is always there. And whether you realize it or not, at every minute of every day, you are in the presence of the greatest individual who has ever existed. Do you believe that? That Jesus Christ is the greatest individual who has ever existed. And you are in the presence of him at all times. Think about that. If I were to ask you, if you could meet anyone in the world, who would it be? I didn't know you were going to respond. Okay, who would it be? Okay, great. Great. Megan Fox. Very nice, okay. All right, that's what he said, not me. All right. All right. All right, thank you. Thanks. So think about this. All eyes on me. Think about this. The person that you would die to see was thought Oprah. All right. Think about this. The person that you are dying to see, that you would give anything to meet, was invented by the one who who is with you at every moment of every day. Isn't that crazy? The one who invented that person is with you at every moment. You are in the presence of the greatest individual who's ever existed. I want to ask you to do this. I want everyone in here to close your eyes right now. Everyone just close your eyes. Don't have a staring contest with me. I'm incredibly good at those. I promise you I will win. Everyone close your eyes. If you're not closing your eyes, you're the only person in here not closing your eyes. Everyone close them. You're still looking at me. Everybody close your eyes. I'm serious now. I just want to ask you, right now at the beginning of D-Town, where do you feel like you're at in your relationship with God? Do you feel like your relationship with Jesus is kind of dry right now? Do you feel like your relationship with Him is kind of non-existent? Do you spend the majority of your time feeling kind of like a spiritual loser? Are you kind of hoping that D-Town will kind of move you back to the place where you feel like you need to be? If that is you, I want you to hear me. Please do not miss this. The goal for you this weekend is not to get a long list of things that you need to go home and do to get back on track with Jesus. The goal for you is to be reminded of just how great Jesus Christ is. Because here's the reality. How you view Jesus affects how you relate to Him. Does that make sense? If you have a small view of God, you will have a small response to Him. So I want to ask you right now, before I talk anymore, I want you to pray in the quietness of your own heart. And I just want you to ask God, say, God, give me a bigger view of You. Pray that real quick, and then we'll move on. Lord Jesus, as we just talked for a few more minutes, I pray, God, that You would give us a huge view of who You are tonight. Thank You that right now we're in the presence of the greatest individual who's ever walked on the face of the earth. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, I want you to open up to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, if you have an iPhone or an iPad or a Droid, whatever you have, feel free to look at it on one of those devices, but Colossians 1 is where we're going to be. And here's what I want you to know. All weekend, we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, 15 through 20, my apologies. But that's where I want all eyes on me right now. Everyone up on me right now. All weekend long. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 20. I don't think that there's a greater passage in the entire Bible. If you want to get a big view of Jesus, it's Colossians chapter 1. So check it out. Let me read you verses 15 through 20, and then tonight we're only going to talk about verse 15. Here's what it says. It says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him, that's Jesus, all things hold together. And He, Jesus, is the head of the church, the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. So let's talk through verse 15. Look back at it. Look at what it says. It says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Do you see those first few words? It says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Here's a quick pop quiz. Who knows what it means to be an agnostic? Anyone know? Who know? You don't have to raise your hand, but just call it out. What does it mean to be an agnostic? Okay? Here's what an agnostic is. An agnostic would be someone who says that the existence of God is unknown. The existence of God is unknown, and they would go as far to say is, if a God does exist, then he is unknowable. It's to say, you know what, if God truly exists, we're natural, he's supernatural, there's no way that even if he did exist, we could know him. He's unknowable. And Jesus is a slap in the face to agnosticism, because did you just see what Colossians 1:15 says? It says, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus shows God to us. Jesus makes God known to us. He explains God to us. Let me illustrate it this way. I actually saw Todd Wagner do this here at Watermark several years ago, and I loved it. I think it's a great illustration. If you've ever heard of the concept of the Trinity is the explanation of God. So it kind of goes like this. Let's just pretend that these chairs are God. They are not. These are not God, all right? But let's pretend, all right? So let's say this. This chair, let's say that this is God the Father. Okay, the Trinity talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's say that this is God the Father. So the Father is God. This is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And this is Jesus, who is the Son, who is also God. Okay, now here's the, bam, okay, there we go. So here we go. This is kind of the crazy thing is that the Father is God, the Spirit is God, and Jesus is God, yet there's only one God. So that's why I got chairs that are all the same color, because they're all God, but there's only one God. Yet somehow there are three separate, co-equal, co-eternal persons, yet there's only one. Make sense? So then there's us. You're like, no, not at all. Okay, well, here we go. This, let's pretend, is us. This is you and me here on earth. And this is God in heaven. And what Jesus has done is that he has stepped out of heaven, and he is still God. He never stopped being God, yet he has stepped out of heaven, and he's come to earth, and he has shown us God. And when he stepped out of heaven and came to earth, he actually came on a rescue mission to save us who are sinners, people who offend God. He came on a rescue mission to deal with our sin for us so that we could then come into a relationship with God. Make sense? But think about this. Jesus has come to earth to show us God. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever wondered what God is like? Have you ever sat there and thought, I wish that I could just see God. If I could just know what he is like, this whole faith thing would be a lot easier. Well, all you have to do is look at Jesus, because Jesus explains God to us. Jesus came to earth, and at the exact same time, he was fully God and fully man. Isn't that kind of cool? At the exact same time, he was fully God and fully man. Guys in here, have you ever labeled someone as the man? You know, there's like a really ugly guy who gets to date a really pretty girl, and you're like, that dude is the man. That doesn't make sense. That dude has to have a killer personality, okay? Because that doesn't make sense. You're like, oh, it's true, all right? So, but you look at it and you say, man, that guy is the man. Well, Jesus isn't just the man, he's the God man. He's the greatest individual who's ever walked on the face of the earth. He's different than anyone else in all of creation, because at the exact same time, he's fully God and fully man. He has shown us exactly what God is like. So you know what that means? You don't have to wonder what God is like. All you have to do is look at Jesus. Like Jesus, when he was here, he's known for holding the largest impromptu barbecue that's ever happened. He took a small kid's Spider-Man lunchbox, unpacked the fish and the bread, and fed 5,000 plus people with it. And you know why he did it? He did it to show us that just as God can satisfy physical hunger, He can satisfy the hunger of each of our souls. I guarantee you, they're all eyes on me right now. I guarantee you there are people in here who want to feel loved. So some girls in here will date the wrong guy because you want to feel loved. Jesus came to show you he can satisfy that need for love. Bless you. As we say in Arabic, Neshwi. Think about this. There's this time, I don't know if you remember this story, but there's this time where Jesus hocked a loogie in his hand, he rubbed his hands together, and he put his hands in a blind man's eyes. And when he did, the blind man opened his eyes and he saw. And at another point, there was a guy who was paralyzed, and his four buddies tore open a roof to a packed house, and they lowered their paralyzed friend through the roof right in front of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. Why did he do that? Why did he heal the blind man? Why did he heal the paralyzed guy? Because he wanted to show us that just as he can heal physical brokenness, he can heal the spiritual brokenness of our lives. Maybe you're in here and you have a struggle with pornography. But you can take hope because Jesus is in the business of healing that which is broken. Jesus is in the business of healing that which is broken. If you want to know what God is like, all you have to do is look at Jesus. Jesus is the most unique person. He's the most significant person. He's the greatest individual who has ever existed. Why? Because he is the God-man. And because he is the God-man, Paul goes on to say this about him. Check out what verse 15 finishes. It says this. It says, he is the image of the invisible God. And then it says, he's the firstborn of all creation. Now that sounds kind of weird for it to say that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. What that sounds like is that there was a point where a woman just appeared on earth and existed, and then over time, her stomach got larger and larger, and then this 8-pound ball shot out of her, and she was like, what is that? It's a person. Mark the calendar, the first person ever has been born. This is the firstborn of all creation. That's not what that's saying. That'd be weird if it did. Sorry I used the word shot out when I referred to birth. Probably not appropriate. Please don't go home and be like, hey, Mom, what was it like when I shot out? All right. That'd be weird. T.A. said it. I don't know. But think about this. This idea, follow me. This idea of Jesus being the firstborn of all creation, you need to know that because Jesus is God, he's always existed. Even when he was born from the Virgin Mary and he lived 33 years on earth, even before that, he still existed. He's always existed. There's never a time where he hasn't existed. So for Paul to say that he's the firstborn of all creation, here's what that means. If you think of, and I'm sorry to go all school on you right now, but if you think about a monarchy, who rules a monarchy? King or a queen? A king. Sometimes a queen, but a king. All right? Okay, next question. Who is the one who inherits all the rights and all the privileges? The first son. So when Paul says that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, all he is doing is explaining the privileges that Jesus has. And he's declaring that Jesus has been pronounced king of all creation. He is the king. He's the king of all creation. Paul is saying there is no one greater, there's no one more powerful, there's no one more significant than Jesus Christ. He is the greatest individual of all time. That's who Jesus is. So we've talked about Jesus. Now I want to talk for a minute about us. And I want to talk about us by talking about the movie Never Say Never. Anyone seen it? All right. Okay. Here we go. We got to move fast. So listen to this. Check this out. If you've ever seen the movie Never Say Never, and guys, I know you've seen it, and there's no shame. There's no shame. All right? But check this out. Follow me. Think back to never say never. I know it's been a couple of years since it's... Okay, so think back to never say never. Are you guys with me? Are you with me? All eyes on me. So think back to never say never. So it starts out with Bieber. He's under the stage. He starts bouncing. He gives the guy knuckles. He's bouncing. Then he's up on the stage. And in that moment, there's middle and high school girls screaming all simultaneously at the top of their lungs. I've never seen a better display of worship in my life. And then comes the One Less Lonely Girl segment. Where Bieber brings a girl up on stage, he hands her roses, sits her on a stool, and just destroys her emotionally. I mean, he holds her hand, he rubs her cheek, he sings into her eyes. And then afterwards, she gets interviewed, and she's like, I just love him so much. And so there's this whole movie. There's this whole movie about Bieber selling out MSG, Madison Square Garden. So he sells that out, and he sells out all these other arenas, and he has a Segway that he rides places, and he rides on a tour bus, and everyone knows his name, and everyone wants to be near him, and girls chase him down the street. People take pictures when he just shows up somewhere. Everyone knows him. And he is considered an icon of greatness. Now, here's the honest truth. And you might disagree with me, but I think the majority of people in here watch Never Say Never, and something in us want what he has. Now, maybe you don't want to be a pop star, maybe you don't want to ride around on a tour bus, but I think every single person in here in some way wants to make it. We want to be known. We want people to know our name. We want to know that we are valuable to this world, even whether it's on video games, having your name known on Xbox Live, or whether it's having your name announced in a stadium. Whatever it is, I think that there's a hunger in us to know that we are valuable to this world. There's something in us that desires to be great. And so the question that you and I have to answer is this, and please do not miss this. The question that you and I have to answer is, are we going to spend our lives trying to become great, or are we going to spend our lives promoting the one who already is great? And he's not just great, he is the greatest. What are you going to spend your life doing? This weekend, the theme is background. Think about the significance of a background. Anyone in here, did your family take a Christmas card photo? Any of you guys? Some of you guys might have been in Hawaii over the summer, and your mom was like, all right, everyone dress in white. We're going to take a picture for our Christmas card. Now, who in here was in Hawaii? And your mom was like, okay, everyone dress in white. We're going to take our picture for the Christmas card. And so I want everyone, we're going to meet in front of the toilet in our hotel room and take the picture. So don't be late. You did that? No, you didn't. You settled for the more traditional white sandy beaches picture. Or maybe you didn't go to Hawaii. Maybe you took pictures for homecoming in the fall. How many of you guys, when your date came over, there were parents who were like, oh, you look so handsome. Okay, come stand in front of the trash can in the pantry. Okay, this is just going to be great. We want to savor this moment. No. Why? Because the background is extremely important. The background makes the central figures in the picture look as good as possible. See, everybody in here wants to be somebody. We all want to be somebody. Nobody in here wants to be a nobody, right? Everyone wants to be somebody. If you want to be somebody, If you want to do something truly important with your life, what if you spent your life in the background of Jesus Christ? You spent your life trying to make Him look good to the rest of this world. Now, don't get me wrong. He's God. He's perfect. He's flawless. He doesn't need you to make Him look good. He already looks incredible. But He invites you to come and be His representative and to make Him look good to this world. What if you spent your life doing that? What if you spent your life in the background of Jesus? You have to decide, are you going to spend your life trying to make yourself great, or are you going to spend your life promoting the one who already is great? You can spend your life trying to become somebody, trying to become great in the world's eyes, and you can wear yourself out trying to become somebody. You can make football your God. You can make basketball your God. You can make dance your God, and it might go really well for you. Everyone will know your name. Everyone at school will bow down and worship to you, and you will become somebody. Or you could be someone who aspires to be a musician, and you can say, if I could just be known, if people could just discover us, discover my band. You might even want to be a worship leader, in the desire is if I could just reach the stage and be discovered, you might attain that, and you will be somebody according to this world. People will know you. Man, you could make grades your God. And you wear yourself out all through school, and grades become your God. And at the end of high school, you graduate with more honors than all the world put together, and people know your name. And you're finally somebody. But I don't want you to miss this. You can spend all your life trying to become somebody, but the reality is that this world needs to know the name of Jesus a lot more than they need to know your name. You know why? Because Acts 4:12 in the Bible says this, there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Did you hear that? There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Jesus offers salvation. He's the one who comes and heals that which is broken in our lives. He saves us from our sin. He saves us from eternity in hell. But not just that, He saves us to a whole new life. Can you offer that to anyone? No. So I'll end by saying this, and I hope you hear it. This world, the people in this world, need Jesus a lot more than they need you. But the people in this world need you because you know Jesus. You know the God-man. You know the greatest individual who's ever existed, the one who has stepped out of heaven and come to earth and shown God to us. He's come on a rescue mission to save us from our sin and to save us to a new life with Him. What if you spent your life, instead of trying to become great, you spent your life trying to introduce people to the one who is already great? That's my hope. My hope is that you would realize this weekend that life in the background is this. You spend your life promoting the name of Jesus instead of promoting your name. All right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are, that you, Lord, are the greatest individual of all time. Thank you that you are the image of the invisible God. You are the firstborn of all creation. There is no one like you. So, Lord, I pray for these students. I pray for the sixth graders in here, the seventh graders, the eighth graders, and all of the high school students. May they be people who even from now realize that the best thing that they can do with their life is to seek to make you known. That this would be a group of students who don't exhaust themselves trying to make their name known, but they spend their life promoting you, Jesus, the one whose name there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.